Well, please locate in your Bibles Luke chapter 6. We're going to talk about golden rule basics this morning. You know, almost anyone can quote the golden rule, but few really understand it. According to Jesus, we're supposed to live by this rule. It's one of these summary statements of how to live. That's why it's called the golden rule. The idea of being golden means that it's a gold standard. It's important. It's the summary, the foundational thing in our relationships, the golden rule. So what is it? Can you quote it for me? No, it's. I was thinking of another one. No, that's the one. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now in a moment we're going to be looking at Luke's version of the golden rule in Luke chapter 6. But I like Matthew chapter 7 because it tells us just a little more than do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So in everything, he says, well, everything, you have to ask, well, what does Jesus have in mind here? Well, if you look at the context, you know, of Matthew chapter 7, just like if you look at the context of Luke chapter 6, which we'll do in a moment, you'll see that it has to do with relationships. Well, everything, in everything, with reference to relationships with one another, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, I know Bible teachers and scholars and commentaries will point out that in Jesus' day, some of the rabbis in their literature pointed out that the negative form of this, don't do to others what you would not want them do to you. Well, that's basically saying the same thing. And I don't want anyone doing to me something that would be hurtful to me. And I don't want to do to someone else something that would be hurtful to them. Why? Because I want to practice the golden rule. And so someone may object, well, the Bible doesn't call it a golden rule. That's true. But I think it's okay, though, to identify certain principles in the New Testament that are foundational in our relationship with other people. And this text here in Matthew chapter 7, what Jesus says, is foundational. And I think it's okay to call it the golden rule. You remember on one occasion Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? He didn't say, well, the Bible didn't talk about the greatest commandment. All other commandments are important and great. He didn't say that. He said, yeah, here's the greatest commandment. And then he said something they didn't ask. He said, here's the second greatest commandment. All right. So see, it's all right to do those things. That's part of Bible study. And I think it's all right to call this rule golden in the sense that it is really foundational in our relationships with other people. Now, if you look in Luke chapter 6, go down to verse 31, and you'll see how Luke says it. It's abbreviated, it's shortened, do to others as you would have them do to you. Whereas Matthew gives us a little more information. He says, so in everything, with reference to, you see, our relationships, do to others as you would have them do to you. And then he says this, he tacks this on the end of it, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, with respect to relationships, this is the gist of the Bible. That's not a word we use a lot, but this is the summary statement. This is what it all can be boiled down to. That's how some of the old times preachers used to say. You can boil everything down to this when it comes to relationships in the Bible. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And let me tell you something, brothers. It can also help you to see what's wrong in a lot of the relationships. Maybe what's wrong with your boss is that you're not doing unto him and to the company what, if you were the boss and the owner of the company, you would want people to do to you. If you're having problems in your marriage, maybe it's because you're not treating your husband like you would like to be treated. Or we could turn it around. You're not treating husbands, you're not treating your wives as they would like to be treated. You understand? This golden rule business can work in a lot of ways. having problems with the kids. You kids, you're mad, you're upset with the parents. Well, think about it, kids. Wake up. Maybe you're not treating them as you would have them treat you. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe you need to kind of get some direction in your life and be a little more loving and obedient in your life. And also, parents, Paul says, don't exasperate your children or provoke your children. Well, what do you mean? Well, do unto others, do unto your children as you would want them to do unto you. You know, treat them, treat both of them like this. It works both ways. But you know, there's more to this. You look at the context. Remember this, a proof text taken out of context becomes a... Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. Becomes a pretext. And what is a pretext? It's an excuse to do whatever it is we want to do in the first place. And that's why we love taking passages out of context, don't we? Proof text is all right to have a proof text because that's how we come to know what we need to do. Let's look, though, at the context. That is the verses surrounding the golden rule, and it is talking about relationships. Look at Luke chapter 6, go back up to verse 27. He says, but to you who are listening, I say. Notice that, but to you who are listening. You know, you can hear the sound of my voice, but if you're on your phone right now texting to someone, you don't hear a word I say. It's going in one ear and out the other, isn't it? Isaiah the prophet said, having ears they shall hear, but shall not understand. Sometimes we listen, we hear, but we don't listen. And he says, but to you who are listening, that is, if you're really paying attention, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Man, this sounds kind of harsh and difficult. But really what he's saying is, the point to me is that we are to do good to other people, even when it's of no benefit to us, and when they don't reciprocate in our goodness. We're still to do good to other people, even if they're not good people. And it really gets bad here if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, he didn't say you couldn't call the police and say, man, this guy's an assault. He's committed assault against me. He didn't say you couldn't step back and he could miss you or walk away. You know, Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12 and chapters 12 and 13 somewhat about this. And he reminds, though, the church, he says, when it comes to if wrong has been done, he says, remember what God has said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But then in chapter 13, that's the end of chapter 12. And unfortunately, those chapters are separated there. But in the next verse there in chapter 13, he starts talking about the civil government. He bears not the sword in vain. So if someone is attacking you, you know, you can call the police maybe. Jesus is not talking about those situations. He's talking about the daily things that happen to us. And to encourage us to do good and to do the right thing, even when it's no benefit to us or even with a person maybe doesn't deserve it, like you have a boss that's crazy. And some of you have had administrators, if you're a school teacher or if you work out here in the public and you have people that are higher up on the food chain and they really don't deserve to be there. But sometimes you just have to, you can't retaliate. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do unto others as what you would have them do unto you. And if you were in their shoes, if you were the administrator, what would you want those under you doing? That is, under your supervision. What would you want them to do? If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Verse 30, give everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Well, he has something in mind here. I know that because this would contradict, if he didn't, this would contradict what Paul says, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. So, you know, you have to look, well, what is Jesus having in mind here? Well, he's having in mind the relationships that involve the golden rule. And us operating in the golden rule, always doing unto others what we would have them do unto you in that context. I know there are some contexts that are not that context where you don't just give something to somebody. It's not good for them. You're enabling them and their dysfunction. And you're not helping them. Sometimes we have to do kids, our children, that away. And I know you love your kids. And that's a hard thing for a parent to do, is to say, now, you know, look, you're on your own on this. I'm not going to help you anymore. But sometimes, you know, kids, you can't just keep enabling that kind of behavior. That is, giving them what they ask. You know, it's, well, I want these Hostess Twinkies, and you didn't buy enough of them. You know, kids can ask for a lot of things that they don't need. And so, but Jesus is not really talking about that, you see. He's saying, I know somebody's going to ask for something, and you can help them. And don't worry about getting it back. That they are in need. I loaned a preacher friend of mine, got in financial trouble, and he didn't ask for any money, but I says, do you need some help? Because I love preachers, and I loved him because I've been in financial trouble and poor as a preacher, and I don't want to make sure, do you need any? He said, yes, I do. And I said, well, how much do you need? I didn't even say that. I said, would $700 help you? Now, that was a long time ago, and that was a lot of money then. He said, that really would. And I remember telling my wife, I said, Jeanette, look, we'll probably never get this back, and that's okay. It doesn't matter. Man needs some help. And we sent it to him. But you know what? He paid me back. He paid me back. But if you had not have paid me back, it's no big deal. Did he pay you interest, JB? No, I wouldn't have taken it. What interest? That's really what the usury business is in the law. That's what it was about. If your fellow Israelite needs some help, that's not a time to worry about interest. He's not talking about being in the banking business, you know, and having, you know, in our day and age, he's talking about helping your fellow Israelite. Don't lend him money with the idea, you got to get back some of that high interest. No, that's not the purpose of helping a fellow Israelite. And the same thing with helping a fellow Christian. So I don't loan money, but I do give it away. And if you'd like to pay it back, you just feel free to do that. I'll do that too, but that's not what I'm here for. But so after he says all that, then he says, and then do to others. See, that's what he's talking about. Do to others as you would have them do to you. There in verse 31, then verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? There's something similar, Jesus says, in Matthew 7. If you only do good to those, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you, to those that you feel like would really be worthy of it, or would help you or repay you in some way, well, what good is it? So take someone out to lunch sometime and buy them their lunch. But don't expect them to take you out and to reciprocate. That's not why you're supposed to do something. Although if they do, that's fine too. But do something good for someone just because, you know, but boy, wasn't this wind bad here the other day. My car was filthy. Had this grime and film all over it. I know you're thinking, JB, are you addled or what's going on? Well, I pulled into the driveway, and my neighbor had one of these power washers, and he is cleaning his. And I got out of my car, and I whistled at him, and I pointed to mine. And you know, he came over, and he washed mine. And I was so grateful. I was so thankful. But I do good things for my neighbor, but I never expect anything back, because I want him to be, he's a good man, and I want him to... I want us to have a good relationship. And that's I think, what Jesus is telling us here when he says, you know, about practicing the golden rule. You don't just do good to expect something back. Verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. And he's not talking about the banking business here. He's talking about personal loans and just being a good guy. Then he says, verse 35, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Even your people you don't like, if they're in trouble, if they need your help, if you don't like them, you still need to help them. You need to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, even if they're not good people. Is what I get out of this. Now, maybe you can see something I'm not seeing here, but if you would, you can tell me after sermon. He said, but notice this. Here's the promise, church. Look at this, verse 35. Listen up. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And God will love you for this. God will take note of this if you'll live like this. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Verse 36, and He's giving you a hint there of how God will treat you one day. And you remember that's what Jesus said when His disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And you remember one of the things that Jesus taught them to pray? He said, you need to pray to God that He will forgive us of our sins. What's the rest of it? Yeah, as we forgive those who sin against us. Matthew says, Matthew 6, is forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, sin is a debt. And when we have wronged someone, we are obligated to them. And we need forgiveness from God, just like we need to forgive those that we have wronged. So if we become forgiving people, then we of course have fulfilled that, and we're doing the right thing. So here's the point of the golden rule in context. As God gives good gifts to those who ask Him, we as Christians ought to render unto others that same sort of service. We are to give them the good things that we wish them to give to us. And so some suggest that the rule would be like this: whatever good things that you wish others would do to you, then you would do to them. So if you would, let's look at the context of the golden rule. And I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. And let's look at verse 34. Matthew chapter 22. So if you would, turn there and let's look at this. Some suggest that the golden rule is just really another way of stating the second greatest commandment that I mentioned earlier. Well, we're going to read about it now. Matthew 22, verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him. Now, that means that they were trying to trip Him up. They questioned Him. They weren't really full believers. But they're using it as a test. Let's see if He can pass this test. Tested Him with this question. It means this is a hard question. Easy questions are not tested. This is a hard one. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? That means it's debatable. Because they were arguing about it. Which is the greatest commandment? Now, verse 37. Well, Jesus is going to tell them. Jesus replied, love the Lord with all your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He says, this is the first and this is the greatest commandment. Well, the Old Testament doesn't say it's the greatest commandment, but when they ask Him what is the greatest commandment, He knew they'd been arguing about which is the greatest, so He tells them, this is the greatest commandment. It doesn't stop there, though. Look at verse 39, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, for all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. When you're talking about your relationship with God, the first and greatest commandment, all the law and the prophets hang right there. That's the gist of the whole Bible when it comes to our relationship with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind or strength. And when it comes to relationships with others, that's the second greatest commandment. It all starts there. It all falls. The gist of the Bible on that is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when I grew up in the Church of Christ, I'd hear these old-time preachers. They'd preach on this and they'd talk about this. But I never connected the fact that this is not New Testament teaching, because this is the only place I ever saw it. And somehow that did not make a connection with me. And I said, well, when Jesus comes in the New Testament, then He brought all this. He brought this love and all of this. Well, no, this is in the Old Testament too. And so I want to share that with you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's a part of the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Some 1,400 years before Jesus was born. On Mount Sinai, God gave that law. And Jesus said, and that's what Jesus is talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It did not originate with Christ. He's referring back to the law, telling them which is the greatest commandment. And then the second one is found in Leviticus 19, again in the law. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people. Well, if you don't do that, but, he says, this is what you're to do. Not that, but this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then notice what he tags on the end of it. I am the Lord. Notice that when we see those, the word Lord in all caps, you know, I've taught you over the years, that's significant in the Bible because it's the personal name for God. Well, why would he put that there? Because he's telling you to listen up. This is coming from me. This is just not inspired advice. This is not a summary of the old sages' advice. This is my command. I am the Lord. I'm the one that's telling you this. Love your neighbor as yourself because I'm the Lord. You listen to me on this particular matter. All right, now listen, in the remaining few minutes, let's talk a little bit about the golden rule in some practical ways. First of all, the golden rule is not the twisted rule. The golden rule should not be corrupted. Do unto others as you would have. Well, men were some friends of mine. We're going to go rob this bank down here, and we want you to go with us. Well, I'm not going to go do the. Well, I will go with you if you were to go. I mean, if you and some of your friends are going to go rob the bank, are you not a friend of mine? Or do you not love me? I would go with you. I want you to come with me. He's not saying that it's okay to do evil in the golden rule. If do unto others, if you're an evil person, it's not all right for you to trip people up and expect them to do something with you that's evil, and to partake of you in your evil. And so we need to be careful then about that particular point. We are not to deal in this way concerning the golden rule to corrupt it. Prophet Isaiah, God says through the prophet Isaiah, woe to those that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That is, you turn around the word and it becomes sin. And woe to those that try to do that and then justify it. Or Paul condemns the saying that apparently some were saying, let us do evil that good may come. That's in Romans chapter 3 and verse 8. So if we desire evil things, we cannot say the golden rule requires others to give us those evil things. Or we cannot use the golden rule in an evil way. Give me all your money. Well, I'm asking. Didn't Jesus say, do unto others? I'm others. Would you do that for me? Well, see, that's for evil purposes. That's not to help someone, but that's for evil. Instead, the Bible teaches that we will reap what we sow. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that will he also reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7. So the twisted rule, the golden rule should not be corrupted in that way. Number two, the golden rule is not selfish. Now here's the point. We are not to deal with others from our own perspective. Now one of the ways that I think I can help you to see this is from my own life. And I was real worried about this, that I would try to live my life through the life of my sons. And sometimes parents try to do that, don't we, as parents? You see, I love basketball, and Joy and Jared were both athletic and in high school athletics, and there in Texas, when you enter into athletics, you play football and basketball. That's the way the program, because that was a football town. Everything else was just secondary. But you know, I set my boy, and I knew that they wanted to be in athletics, and I wanted them to be in athletics, but I didn't want them playing football. I wanted them playing basketball, because in football, sometimes you can get a serious injury. And I just didn't like football as much as I love basketball. But I would talk to myself, and I would say, look, what if they like football? So I set them down at the beginning of seventh grade, and I said, now look, when you get through with this, in my opinion, I'd like for you to leave football because I'm afraid you're going to get an injury and just do the basketball, and then you can do track and off season, the other things that they have. But I said, if you really want to do football, though, as your father, I will be very supportive of you, and I'll go to your games and I'll love you for it. I want to let them know that. But you see, sometimes as parents, though, we want to live our past life through our kids. You know, in my case, I wanted to be a basketball star, and since I wasn't, I was going to let my kids do that for me. So. Well, actually, I think I did all right. But both Joey and Jared, they were High Point in their senior year in their basketball team, and it was a large school, and they did real well. But I tried to let them do that. And because it's, see, don't sort of force my thinking. And that's not what the golden rule is about, parents. We need to listen up here. Because, you know, we may want our kids to play in the band because we always wanted to be a great instrumentalist or something, but, you know, they may not want to play in the band. And we need to respect that. What this means is that we should really try to understand people and handle them in a way that is best for them and not for us. I remember the classic example of this is I had a friend in Bexar. We used to do a lot of mission work in Mexico, and Christine and Lalo, they're starting that. They're going to Mexico in the summer and spending several weeks and doing some work down there. And we would do that too. And we got to know the church in Monterrey, Mexico, and one of the preachers was a great man, Arnulfo Santillan. And sometimes Arnulfo would come to the States and he'd talk to the churches that were helping support some of the work that they were doing. And he came to Decatur once when I was there. And I wanted to take him out to lunch. You know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. He needed to eat, so I was going to take him out to lunch. But I wanted him to eat some good Mexican food in Texas. I know he's a Mexican. He's got to like Mexican food. And I'm going to show him just how good it is here in Texas. So I went to my favorite Mexican restaurant, and he ordered a chicken fried steak. He wasn't interested in our Mexican food. He's tired of Mexican food in Mexico. It does taste different, by the way. If you go to Mexico, it doesn't taste like our food. But you see, what I was doing, I was trying to do unto him from my own selfish perspective. I didn't ask him, Arnulfo, where do you want to go eat? You're here in America, and you're from Mexico, and you don't get to come up here that often. So where would you like to eat? See, I never did that. I just said, well, I'm going to take him to this Mexican restaurant. And I'm going to show him, and he's going to really be amazed. And so we're not to use our wants as a standard for the wants of everyone else. It is not a rule that allows us to manipulate others to do what we want. So we don't need to manipulate our kids and try to force them in a direction that we would like to live through their lives and see, or even our friends. You know, find out what they want and do unto others as then you would have them do unto you, and so on. Number three, the golden rule is not comprehensive. That is, there's more to it. There is more to faith than the golden rule. Now, I'm going to say something that will offend some of you. The golden rule will be on the lips of a lot of people who will miss heaven. Because there is more to salvation than the golden rule. There is more to your relationship with God than the golden rule. Some people, when you ask them, well, why don't you come to church? Well, I don't need to come to church. I practice the golden rule. I do unto others, you'd have them do it to you. Well, why aren't you baptized? Why don't you have the Lord's Supper? Well, the preacher, I do practice the golden rule. And on Sunday morning, instead of watching TV, I sleep in. And during the week, I practice the golden rule. You see, we can use it as a rationalization not to do a lot of what God says, can't we? In fact, we can make that the summation of all religions. And some have done this. You know, you don't just stop with Christianity. Pretty soon, you know, you say, well, all religions, you know, they practice the golden rule. I've heard people kind of go in that direction and justify that. And that's, the golden rule is not comprehensive. It's about your relationship. It's foundational to your relationships with others. That's true. But there are so many things, even involved in that relationship with other people, that you need to be aware of, as well as your relationship with God and your obligations before God. Some Jews and even Jewish Christians in Paul's day didn't get this. And they would argue, well, if you just live by the law of Moses, that's good enough. Others believe, and even in the churches of Christ, well, this is a way to do with all doctrinal differences. Just have everybody practice the golden rule. And you quote some statement that Jesus made maybe about blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, I make peace. And I, you know, when two people are fighting, I try to break up the fight. So I'm theirs is the kingdom of God. I get to be in the kingdom because of that. Or I practice the golden rule. That's all that's necessary. Well, that's the twisted rule. There's more to it. And here in conclusion, how to understand the good. It should remind us some things. First of all, it should be a reminder of giving and receiving. If we want to be treated in a certain way, then we should treat others in that way. For example, if we want to be forgiven, as we've already pointed out, we need to be forgiving people. Number two, the golden rule is a reminder of what God expects in our relationships. This principle, in fact, is key to any relationship. This is key, and humans have the greatest difficulty, it seems, in relationships with one another. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody lived with a golden rule? I mean, your world would be so much better, wouldn't it? Nations wouldn't go to war against other nations, would they? Number three, it is a reminder of the responsibilities of love. It shows that we are to remove our own biases from any and every relationship and circumstances and become an impartial spectator. We should ask ourselves, what is it that I should do that others want me to do for them? Not what is it that I want to do for them, but what is it that they would expect? The golden rule shows that we have a responsibility to others with respect to how we treat them. If something bad happens to someone, we should be just as concerned as if it happened to us. The rule includes our enemies as well, as Jesus points out in the context of the golden rule. And if something bad happens to them, we are not to gloat over their misfortunes. And so it is, the golden rule, one of the greatest rules in the Bible. Well, we've got an invitation song, Earth Holds No Treasures. And we can get Tom to get up here. We're going to lead this song by way of invitation. And if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, to make that decision to follow Christ right now, and so that you can live your life in full compliance with what God has said about not only the golden rule, but other rules. We invite you to come as together we sing, and Tom, please come lead us.